Shipping can make or break a sale. As your business grows, ShipStation can help optimize how you ship orders so you can stay competitive while you scale up. Whether you're shipping 100 packages a month or thousands, ShipStation lets you automate routine shipping tasks and easily handle returns. Optimize and keep up your momentum for growth with ShipStation. Use promo code RESPECT today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code RESPECT. I've talked to a lot of amazing people on this podcast, but if you're like me, you want to go deeper. So where can you go to learn from the most remarkable people? That's Masterclass. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. So many people just talk about improving. Masterclass helps you actually do it. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/ratchet. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/ratchet. masterclass.com/ratchet.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and those who don't identify as either, you are listening to Ratchet and Respectable. I'm in LA. I mean, last time we spoke, I was in California, but I was in Orange County, which is entirely different than being in LA. The good folks at Cadillac sent a truck to come pick me up. The Uber Black from Orange County to LA, I want to say it was like $450 one way. And I was like, go fuck yourself. So I called Cadillac and they were like, we have trucks. So they came and got me from Orange County. Thank you, Cadillac. They brought me to LA for ABFF Honors. Cadillac was one of the main sponsors for ABFF Honors. And also they're a regular sponsor of ABFF that takes place in Miami every year. If you're wondering why I keep mentioning Cadillac, they are not a sponsor of Ratchet and Respectable, but they have been a long-term sponsor of me. So whether it's a Bell in Brooklyn or Don't Waste Your Pretty or See Some World or Essence or bringing me down to ABFF in Miami or bringing me to ABFF Honors here in LA, they've been a long time and very loyal sponsor of my work. They got me a ticket to ABFF Honors, a good seat. I was right in the front. If you saw the videos I posted on Instagram, which is down at the moment, it's driving me nuts. Those nice clear videos with clear shots of the stage and the podium and the performers and the speakers. Thank Cadillac. They also gave me a truck. So I didn't have to rent a car while I was in LA. I was running errands yesterday when they dropped the truck off at my hotel. So when I went out last night, I had a girls' dinner. There's just six of us. It wasn't one of those massive ones like I do when I'm in New York. A lot of my LA friends, like their one-on-one time, they were like, I'm not doing a group. I haven't seen you in years. I want face-to-face. I'm not sharing you. I was like, oh, okay. So Cadillac had sent me a screenshot of the valet ticket when they dropped the car off. So I take it over to the valet. And, you know, I'm a black girl back in America and in LA, which I told y'all when I was living here is one of the most racist places I've ever been. So I go over to the valet desk with my screenshot of my valet ticket and then also my ID and a backup ID because I know how this goes. Showed the guy the picture of the ticket. He was fine with it. Apparently, people drop off cars all the time. Okay. He said the valet will go get my car. And he was like, I can wait like a little bit ways away where they had couches and heating lamps. Because it's cold in LA right now. So as I'm walking away, he says, ma'am, he said, do you know what color the car is? And I was like, I don't. Like, they dropped it off. I have no idea. I never even thought about it. I just assumed when they told me they were giving me an Escalade, it was just, I just pictured in my head a big black Escalade. So I go sit down on the side and I'm scrolling on my phone. And I was like, they would give me a black Escalade, right? When I have a truck picking me up and it's an Escalade, it's always black. So I was like, yeah, definitely a black Escalade. I don't think anything else about it. I'm scrolling on my phone, have no idea how much time passes. The guy comes over and he says, he was like, ma'am, your car is ready. I follow him around the corner to my car. It's a bright red Escalade. The car is huge, huge. Like, I love driving a truck. I push a truck every day. My truck was technically my father's truck now. Gave it to him when I left. But the truck in the driveway at my parents' house that I drive when I'm here and also drove when I was in LA, it's a cute sized truck, but it's like a medium truck. It's not a massive truck. Escalades are massive. I had to climb into the truck. I mean, it has like the little footy thing, like a full step for me to step into the car. I've driven big trucks before. I don't think I've ever driven an Escalade. It's like sitting on a throne. I'd be driving around looking down at all the other drivers. And I was like, oh, remember Blue Ivy when she was a baby? There was a meme of her looking over the railing at her parents' fans in complete disgust at the peasants. That's how I feel when I'm sitting up in my Escalade. My Escalade. My Escalade. I'm not changing it. It's mine for the week. Which, by the way, I was supposed to leave LA tomorrow. I just moved my flight. Like, there was too much going on. There were too many people to see. Trying to stuff it all into 3 days. Because, you know, LA is not my favorite city. I like to visit. Living here is a whole separate thing. It was too much to cram into a little amount of time. So I changed my flight. Also changed my flight back to Ghana. I was supposed to leave on the 13th. I think now I'm leaving the 23rd. My crazy ass life. But I climb into this gigantic truck and I'm driving around. And it dawns on me that when I met Suge Knight, it's the stupidest story. I'm not telling you the full version. It's in a Bell in Brooklyn. I think it's the chapter Sugar Bear, because that's what I called him. This is so dumb. But I think the first time I met Suge Knight, he was driving around Hollywood in a red Escalade. And I was like, is it safe for me to drive around as a black person in a red truck, a big ass red truck in LA? Because, you know, they got issues with color here. Not just like race, but like, you know, gangs and shit. And I was like, I'm supposed to go meet my friend in South LA later. But he's in Baldwin Hills. I feel like I should be safe because it's uber bougie and gentrified. Everybody I was at the table with last night, some of them live in South LA now. And they were like, you should be fine. But like, don't go no further than Baldwin Hills. Don't get it in your head to drive out to Nipsey's shop and decide you want to like pay your respects or something like that. Like Baldwin Hills and then back to Hollywood. Got it? Okay. I was like, what are my life choices? ABFF Honors was amazing. The lineup was insane. They were honoring Taraji P. Henson, Mara Brock Akil, Garrett Morris. I'm leaving somebody off the list. He's a newbie. Well, not really. He's just starting to get his big recognition. He's playing MLK in that, I think it's PBS. Is it the series about Malcolm and Martin? He's playing Martin. Which I watched the first two episodes and it was really good. Issa Rae presented to him. I love her. I've known her for years and years and years and years and years. She always stops to speak and gives a hug. She used to read a Bell in Brooklyn when it was still a blog. We connected when she was still doing her show on YouTube. Who else presented? Tyrese was there on his best behavior. He was presenting to Taraji. He loved that woman. He really does. Usually when people have like really amazing chemistry like that, I'd be like, oh, they should try to get together. I'm good. I don't want that for Taraji, who looked amazing. I think she was really stressed out when she was doing the press run for The Color Purple. And she looked fine. But the other night I saw her on the red carpet and then obviously on stage at the awards. And she just looked fucking phenomenal. Like I saw her and I was like, God damn. Like just if perfection was a person. And ma'am is 50. As my bevy likes to say, it gets greater later. Who else was there? Mara Brock Akil. She looked phenomenal too. She looked so good. Then when I saw her at the pre-reception, I was looking at her wondering where I knew her from. Like what role did she play? And then it hit me and I was like, oh shit, that's Mara. And I went over to speak. We kiki'd in Paris. You know, my life sounds crazy right now. I hung out with her and Joan Morgan, who's been my big sis in my head, because she's legendary writer, the Joan Morgan. Big sis in my head until we finally met back in my editor days, and then became big sis in real life. Joan and Mara either had the same birthday or it's a couple days apart, but they had a birthday party and it was like 20 of us kiki'ing at a drag club. Amazing night. That week was the reason I decided to move to Paris. But went over to kiki with Mara. You gotta go look at the pictures on my page. Look fucking phenomenal. And got the nerve to be smart on top of that. But I'm sitting here talking to Mara and she's like, well, where are you now? And I'm telling her, like, you know, my travel updates. And she was like, your life is so fascinating. She was like, you just have such an amazing story. And I'm sitting here listening. I'm like, Mara Brock-Akil, who's done all of these iconic TV shows. I'm like, if Mara Brock-Akil tells you you have a phenomenal story, Demetria, come now. Shouldn't you be writing a show about your life and submitting it to a person who already thinks your story is so fucking phenomenal? What are you doing with your life, Demetria? I had a whole existential crisis in the middle of an award show. So much going on that night. But literally the best thing was being in this room and running into so many of my friends. Because again, I haven't been back to LA since I moved. I was living in LA right before I went to Ghana. It's only been not even 2 years, but it feels so much longer. It feels like forever. Really fun times at ABFF. Oh, Garrett Morris, aka Stan from Martin. He's older than my father. I forgive myself for not knowing his extensive history. Every time somebody got an award, they ran a little video highlighting their life. Oh, Jeffrey Wright. That was the other person I forgot. Jeffrey Wright was also honored. And presented by Wendell Pierce, who I love. Bunk from The Wire. Which I went up to him and I was like, excuse me, Mr. Pierce. I was like, I just want you to know that The Wire is my favorite show of all time. And you are one of my favorite characters. And your classic line, stop giving a fuck when it's not your turn. I have applied this to my life. It has kept me out of more nonsense than I care to explain in this moment. He was very nice, very gracious. That's not the point. So they run this clip of Garrett Morris and I had no idea his history was so extensive. The first black person on Saturday Night Live, I don't know why I thought it was Eddie Murphy. When Garrett Morris left, Eddie Murphy replaced him as the black guy. Who knew? I mean, besides all the people that knew and were alive during that time, I had no idea. Before he was on Saturday Night Live, he had this whole extensive history as a musician. I had no idea. I knew that man as Stan from Martin. Martin's boss at the radio station. That was my extent of my Garrett Morris knowledge. I knew he was a comedian, which I only figured out from context clues because there were so many comedians on the show. He's an older gentleman. So he comes on stage and, you know, he's a man of a certain age. So they get him a chair so he's comfortable. And he's talking and he keeps going off on these tangents. I'm thinking that he has some, how do I want to say this delicately? Because again, he's a man of a certain age. I'm thinking, you know, maybe he has some memory loss. But he always kept coming back. And I was like, no, he's sharp as fucking ever. And he's a really skilled comedian. Because every one of the random tangents that he went on, he brought it back full circle in the last 3 minutes of his speech. It was a masterclass, both in comedy and storytelling. I was very thankful and humbled to be a part of the room celebrating him and giving him his flowers while he can figuratively still smell them. Oh, I went to dinner. That's what I was telling you earlier. I went to dinner at Javier's in Century City. It's like stupid expensive Mexican food, but like some of the best food you'll ever eat. And amazing margaritas. Oh my God. I might go back there before I leave. But just had some girls at dinner. It's so funny. LA conversation is so much different than DC conversation or Ghana conversation or Atlanta conversation, which I didn't mind. Like a good chunk of last night's dinner conversation, half about TV and film, because nearly all my friends work in TV and film. And then the other half was about health and fitness. We're exchanging notes on different vitamins for better gut health. Everybody's doing Pilates except me, which also Pilates is big in Ghana too. All my friends do Pilates there. Apparently, black women worldwide love Pilates. People ask questions like, oh, so what are you doing for your cardio? Getting to know people in DC, folks will flat ask you, what do you do? Or where did you get your law degree from? Because the assumption is everybody has a law degree. But people in LA, like a very normal icebreaker, will be like, oh, so what are you doing for cardio? And it just opens up people to talk about their health and fitness, because everyone is on some sort of health and fitness journey. Even when I was at Leading Women, I mean, this isn't necessary health. Well, I mean, in a way, mental health, if you will. But we were sitting at breakfast one morning having a whole conversation about shroom parties and microdosing. Apparently, shrooms are an easier high to manage than weed. It doesn't make you sleepy. It doesn't make you paranoid. And you ease out of your high easier than weed. So I was talking to a woman, and she and her partner get together with other couples, and they have dinner parties with a professional mushroom chef who organizes the height and length of their high. She was like, you can literally set a clock by it. You can just say, like, I want to be high for like 2 or 3 hours. And they're like, okay, we'll eat this and then have a little bit more of this in like an hour or so. And that should roll you right through. And like clockwork, you're done at your assigned time. So you can go, I don't know, pick your kids up from school or from the babysitter. I don't know, whatever responsibilities you have. Another very classic LA conversation. You'd be in the middle of the hike and people start talking about how you get high, which to each their own. My dad told me when I was really, really young, I guess when I was headed to college, he was like, you can drink or you can smoke, but don't do both. The people who do both be really fucked up. And I was like, oh, I chose alcohol. And then gave up mostly alcohol. I don't count wine as alcohol. Wine is really just grapes. You know, it's like fruit. It's like of the earth. I guess by that logic, you could say vodka is just potatoes. Let's not go down that road. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you're like me, you're ready for warmer, sunnier days. But is your skin? See, your skin goes through a big transition between seasons, not just on the surface, but at the cellular level. That's why it's important to nurture it from the inside out with products that do more than just protect against the sun's UV rays. OneSkin's products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. This peptide reduces the accumulation of damaged aging cells, the ones that make your skin less resilient and more prone to lines and wrinkles. Instead of masking these issues, OneSkin addresses them at the cellular level, boosting your skin's natural barrier to lock in moisture and help protect against the elements. They have a full line of face and body products, including OS01 Shield, an SPF that prevents UV-induced aging and repairs cellular aging all at once. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code RATCHET when you check out at oneskin.co. No matter the season, keep your skin looking and feeling healthy with OneSkin. Now, I love using OneSkin. You can use it a bunch of places, but I just do face and eye. It's so simple. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily. That's it. And I love that it can be used with other products, and it so easily fits into my current skincare routine. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code RATCHET at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code RATCHET. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin. Shipping can make or break a sale. As your business grows, ShipStation can help optimize how you ship orders so you can stay competitive while you scale up. Whether you're shipping 100 packages a month or thousands, ShipStation lets you automate routine shipping tasks and easily handle returns. I've used ShipStation since the very beginning of my e-commerce business. I tried it out with the free trial. It's so easy to try things out before you commit, or you can sign up and get started right away. ShipStation is the most affordable way to ship everything you sell online. ShipStation has industry-leading discounted rates from USPS, UPS, DHL, and Global Post. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation, including mine. And 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. Optimize and keep up your momentum for growth with ShipStation. Use promo code RESPECT today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code RESPECT. What else is going on in the world? I heard Don Lemon got 24 million American USD dollars in dineros out of CNN. I think The Wrap is where the story came from, but they said Don Lemon got paid out in full for his CNN contract after they let him go last year. I saw People Magazine had reached out to CNN and was like, hey, did y'all really pay Don Lemon 24 million American USD dollars in dineros? CNN said, quote, while we never comment on specifics of any employee contract, this story is incorrect. So you paid him more than 24.5 million American USD dollars in dineros, or you paid him less than 24.5 million American USD dollars in dineros? I want Don to have a good life. He was pissing me off towards the end of his run with CNN. I enjoyed Don Lemon, especially on New Year's Eve. We talked about how excited I was when Don Lemon said he's coming back with the podcast. I want him to do almost exactly what Shannon Sharpe is doing, just with journalistic integrity. We were talking about that last night at the table. I like Shannon Sharpe. I want Shannon Sharpe to win. I wish Shannon Sharpe no ill will. Sir, I need you to ask follow-up questions. It drives me nuts. And he's flatly said that's not what he's going to do. He was like, I'm not a journalist. That's not what I do. I'm an entertainer. Are you entertained? Then I've done my job. I receive that. I receive it. And still, it drives me nuts. Don, I'll ask your ass some follow-up questions. I was like, please, please, Don, enter the space. Please enter the space expeditiously before the election. Please. Risa Tisa, I guess we're at the good black news portion of the podcast. Risa Tisa, a.k.a. the 50-part series on TikTok, as if the world doesn't know her name. She's having the best week ever. I saw she was featured in the Cut magazine with an exclusive. I really can't believe this story crossed over into mainstream white media, but did. It was a phenomenon. The Cut dressed her up, made her real, real pretty. You know how sometimes black folks get in white spaces and they put the wrong people on their hair and makeup and wardrobe and they just look crazy? The lighting will be wrong. The wig will be wrong. The colors of the makeup will be wrong. Just so many things could go wrong. But The Cut did right by her. She looked very fresh. She looked very vibrant. Head to toe, she looked very nice. She seems to be thriving. She's currently repped by CAA, which is one of the biggest artist agencies in the world. Good for her. She also did Tamron Hall. That was her exclusive for TV. Tamron Hall was doing super heavy promo for that episode. So good for her. I didn't read the piece in The Cut, and I haven't watched the episode of Tamron yet. Will I? I don't know. I absolutely want the best for her. Like, get all the things, get all the money, all the endorsements, all the sponsors. Be where the money resides. I just don't have any real desire to engage with that story further. But if she wrote a book, I would read it. Because apparently she's an amazing storyteller. Maybe there's a film in the works. I don't know. It's CAA. They could do whatever they want to do. Or at least pitch it to the right people. Whether they say yes is a whole separate thing. But good for Risa Tisa. Idris and Sabi are in their birthday suits. You can't see nothing, unfortunately. But they're in their birthday suits for Calvin Klein. They're promoting a new perfume. It's both of them. So I don't know if it's a perfume or a cologne. It could be unisex. I don't know. I do know they look fucking amazing in the commercial. Those are some sexy, gorgeous, beautiful people. Not even in color. They're in black and white. They have such hot, steamy chemistry. All up and down my Facebook page, people were like, you know what? I'd watch. If they had an OnlyFans or a video leaked, first in line. They're very beautiful people. Sabi and our husband. I think she claimed Idris just for herself for that shoot. Emotionally, professionally, she'll share him. Physically, I believe Idris married real well. She's a kind of wife I like for him. I'm so glad, so thankful that she's not some dingbat airhead that says stupid shit in the press, embarrassing herself and him. I'm so thankful he married a woman with a brain. I think she represents herself and their union very nicely. I have a couple crush on both of them. Usher? Somebody slid in my DMs. That's how I first got wind of this story. And their first question was, is this your king? And then a link to Russell Simmons and Usher's latest shenanigans. So for some unknown, ungodly reason, Usher has hopped his happy ass on a plane halfway across the world to Bali to go hang out with Russell Simmons. I guess everything happens for a reason, because we just talked about Russell Simmons and his two new lawsuits. One for defamation, one for sexual assault. He's been sued at least 3 times for sexual assault, and more than 20 women have publicly accused him of sexual assault. There's a whole documentary that features somewhere from, loosely, I would say 15 to 20 women who have accused him of sexual assault. We literally just talked about this, much delayed, but on time for these most recent events. Usher hopped his happy ass on a goddamn plane across the world to go hang out with a man who's been accused by 20 women of sexual assault. Russell stated in his gushing caption about Usher's visit, with accompanying pictures and video, he says that he's known Usher since he was a boy. He praised Usher for coming to stand by him in his darkest hour, which I was like, but why is this your darkest hour? Because you treated your children like shit and they publicly turned on you? Or is it because you've had to put yourself in exile as you wait out the statute of limitations on all the women who could sue you for sexual assault? What exactly makes it your darkest hour? But he says in this caption, that screenshotted? He says something like, I've known Usher since he was a boy. This is on TMZ. It's on every major platform. This is Russell's caption, or at least part of it. He says, when I was at the lowest point in my life, I woke up and this man was sitting by my bed. I had known Usher since he was a kid, but we really bonded because of our mutual love for self-discovery and our belief in yogic science as a direct route to realizing God's consciousness in ourselves. Nigga, please. He says, please remember to remember this. A friend walks in when others walk out. I will never forget the generosity of spirit I witnessed in this man. God bless you, baby bro, at Usher. Is he going to talk about why folks walked out? Like, folks walked out once again because you've been accused of sexual assault publicly by at least 20 women, 3 of whom have sued you, 12 to 15 of which participated in a documentary and all had nearly identical stories of how you assaulted them. This is why others walked out. Why the fuck Usher decided to walk in, especially now, is baffling to me. Like, all the places you could go in the world. You fresh off 100 nights in Vegas, just did the Super Bowl, got a new album. The album got real mixed reviews, but love for Usher has largely kept folks from publicly dissing the album. Also, was it last week? Yeah, I think so. On Tuesday, we talked about that lawsuit, that 73-page lawsuit against Diddy. And we talked about how Usher, actually, no, we talked about that on Friday. We talked about Usher popping up in a lawsuit on Friday. We talked about how people have been going after Meek really hard. Also because Meek responds. But, you know, Usher's name came up. It was briefly mentioned. Usher didn't respond. People seemed to let it go. Usher has garnered a lot of goodwill with his excellence in Vegas. I didn't particularly think the Super Bowl was excellent, but he didn't embarrass himself. It was a solid show. And being asked to perform at the Super Bowl is a major career highlight. It solidifies that you are a legend in your own time, that you are at the top of your game, that you've made a significant cultural impact. The wedding right after that, we're going to skip over that People article where he went on and on and on about his exes. The writer of that article was at dinner last night. Much insight to share. Cannot repeat. She has her own podcast where she talks about celebs and shares behind the scenes nuggets. That's her story to tell. Janine Rubenstein, if you're interested. We as a people, we as a culture, give Usher a whole lot of grace. We don't clown him about the STD lawsuits the way we would somebody else in the same predicament. We don't talk about the 3 marriages the way we would somebody else in a similar predicament, because he's garnered lots of goodwill. And for the most part, other than those STD lawsuits, were there many lawsuits or one lawsuit? I remember the one that he settled out of court. I keep seeing people allude to lawsuits, and I was like, I know there was a lawsuit that he gave a woman an incurable STD. We largely overlook a lot of Usher's poor decision-making or poor behaviors. We ha-ha about him being a menace. We ha-ha about him being like, don't leave your girl around me, true player, for real. We blame the women's, but we give no blame to Usher. We think everything he does is fucking adorable. He gets a lot of passes. This shit, I'm disappointed, but I'm unsurprised. Just as a general observation, men sexually assaulting or being accused of sexual assault, being convicted of sexual assault, being seen on video sexually assaulting women, girls, minors, whatever, is not a deal breaker for other men to stop fucking with you. It's not a deal breaker for some women either. R. Kelly had a lot of female supporters, famous female supporters. The abuse, the assault, the rape, the mistreatment of women is not a deal breaker for most men. If it was, a lot of them wouldn't have friends. That's unfortunate to say, but it's true. I remember I was in a friend circle, mixed group, some guys, some girls, and there was a guy in a circle who had been accused of, at best, inappropriate behavior, at worst, attempted assault of 3 different women. One of them happened at a party at my house. There was another incident, literally one of my best friends, one of my very best friends. I started distancing from him once that happened. Maybe 2 years after that, I had thrown an event. He wasn't specifically invited, but he was there nonetheless. I didn't have him kicked out. I was tired and I left. It was still probably like 10, 12 people still there. One of them was one of my girlfriends and she had a friend with her. When the story came back to me, she had mentioned where she lived and the guy said, oh, I live 2 blocks away from you. Can you give me a ride? She said she didn't think twice about it. Her version of events is she pulled up to whatever cross streets that he gave. He asked her if she wanted to come upstairs and have a drink. So she was like, nah, I'm good. I have an early day. He might have suggested to her that she could crash at his house. And she was like, no, I'm dropping you here and I'm going home. He still refused to get out the car. There was some kind of back and forth. She said that he tried to like climb over the console and kiss her, hug her, grab her. She screamed bloody murder and he got out the car. Our mutual friend, who was really, really close to at the time, tells me this story the next day. And I was like, oh, fuck no. I gathered together like the folks in our friend circle. And I was like, hey, just so y'all know, I don't want y'all to be out here guilty by association. I was like, this is some of the things that people are saying, some of the things that I have personal knowledge of because it happened here and then it happened here and then it happened here. Have you heard of anything? Do you know of anything? Because this is not okay. They agree. It's not okay. Damn, that's really fucked up. Wow, that's crazy, sis. Whoo, shit. That's a lot, D. And then they all still remain friends with him. Like it wasn't a deal breaker. One of them has a profession that requires a security clearance. They were posting pictures all over Instagram. And I was like, nigga, if you get caught up in this shit, you will lose your fucking job. He said, thank you for the heads up, the reminder, because you told me before, like, I'm a grown man. I make the decisions about who my friends are, not you. Got a little testy with me. And I was like, cool. Fast forward years later, I can't tell you the details of this story. Something crazy happened within the men's group. He violated a man code, like a very basic man code. And then, and only then, were they like, oh, this nigga's fucked up. You think? It's just not a deal breaker. To a lot of men. Abuse, assault, rape of women, mistreatment of women, greasy talk to women, domestic violence against women. Another story. Was friends with a guy. Not as tight in his circle, but I knew some of his other friends. This is after I got a divorce. And he was like, D, who you dating? Like, what's going on? If you don't use it, it'll close up. He was like, what about X? Like, you thought X was cute? X, who you told me pushed his ex-girlfriend down a set of steps? That X? Yeah. And he was like, oh, shit. Yeah, okay. You got a point. Huh? It's not even like you got that story secondhand. Like, you had to pick him up from the police station when he got arrested for DV. You were intimately involved in this situation. You told me about it when it happened years prior. But that incident is so far down on list of things that you care about that it doesn't even register to you that like, oh, that's a person of poor character. It registers so low on your radar that you would turn around and recommend him to a friend as someone that she should date. That's insane. But it's also men. I tell you all that to say, Usher going to Bali to hang out with Russell, he probably didn't even think about all those women that have accused Russell of assault It probably didn't even register in his head. He's just thinking like Rush is like big bro, is like unk. He's been friends with him forever. Why wouldn't he go visit Russell? Especially if he's going to Bali. You know Russell's there. Why wouldn't he? Probably never crossed his mind. That said, 100% certain it crossed Russell's. He know why he over in Bali. There's no extradition to the state. That's why he's over there. Waiting out the statute of limitations. And should someone not wait? Should a lawsuit be filed? The U.S. government can't do shit because there's no extradition treaty with Bali. This is common knowledge at this point. People have been talking about this shit for the last 10 years. Russell knows good and hell well while he's over there. He also knows good and hell well being associated with him is not a good look. Now, sometimes when he comes to the States, people like to flaunt it on some real I don't give a fuck. Last time he was here, he was hanging out with Kevin Lyles. Kevin Lyles was posting them all up and down his timeline. I'm like, sir, you have at least, to my knowledge, 2 daughters, maybe 3. And you still friends and public friends at that with Russell Simmons just because y'all are both in the same industry. Y'all have known each other a really long time. You think he wouldn't give 2 shits about assaulting your daughters and won't wait till they're of age because he didn't with Kimora either. She wasn't 18 when they met. She's still in high school, according to her. Come on. But he knows good and hell well that being associated with him is not a good look. If he really gave a fuck about Usher, his loyal friend who looks after him when everybody else doesn't, who walks in when everybody else walks out, he just would have enjoyed Usher's presence in Bali and wouldn't have posted it on his social media, turning it into a media storm in which everyone is looking at Usher. Everyone, some folk, it's definitely not everyone, are looking at Usher like, nigga, what are you doing? It's a PR fucking nightmare. You have all these adoring women fans, the ones that were going in droves to your sold out show. The ones that made the most recent Super Bowl where you performed, the highest rated Super Bowl ever. I think it's the highest rated TV event ever. All these women streaming that kind of mediocre album. It wouldn't have been mediocre if they cut half the songs. We've talked about this already. With your new sold out world tour, those are women buying those tickets. Or folks who want to take their woman on a good date night. And this is how you repay them? By palling around with a sexual predator? Alleged. 20 people accusing you of the same shit. Where there's smoke. But really, Usher? Really? Really? I'm so disappointed. The other part, too, as disappointed as people are, is like, what the fuck is people are looking at Usher right now? There's no real repercussion. That's why he can do it. Because Russell posted the pictures and the videos. I think he posted 2 rounds of them, which I'm like, I hope Usher realizes, like, you know Russell don't really fuck with you like that, right? Like, you have enormous goodwill, and Russell is trying to present it as, like, oh, everybody loves Usher, and Usher loves me on some, like, if X equals Y and Y equals Z, then X should equal Z. He's trying to siphon some of Usher's goodwill for himself. That's the only reason he posted that shit. He's a manipulative little fuck. There might be 5 really righteous people in the world who are like, no, you support a predator. I'm not going to your show. But if you've already paid for the tickets, who cares? He posted something the other day with the tour dates. Almost all of them are already sold out. Like, the tickets are purchased. So even if you don't go, even if you resell them to someone else, like, the money's already in his pocket. So what's the impact here exactly? It's a fucked up world we live in.
Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like checking in your baggage at the airport without a lock. You think your stuff is kept private, but you never know who's going through your stuff. When you go online without a VPN, internet service providers can see every single website you visit. They can legally sell this information without your consent to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. When you use ExpressVPN, internet service providers cannot see your online activity. Your identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server, and your data is also encrypted for maximum protection. I use ExpressVPN on all my devices, phones, laptops, even my routers, so everyone that shares my Wi-Fi is protected. I love it because it's so easy to use. You just fire up the app, click one button, and you're safe. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/ratchet today. That's expressvpn.com/ratchet and you can get an extra 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/ratchet. What New Year purchases would you put on a credit card? Maybe supplies for a new semester or gym memberships? No matter how you're starting off the year, when you use the Secure Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can build your credit scores with on-time payments for everyday purchases. If there were an overachieving credit card that helps you build credit, this would be it. Plus, there's no annual fee, interest, or credit check to get started. I love my Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. And I love that I can build credit using my own money. Also, with Chime, you can get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. And you have access to more than 60,000 fee-free ATMs. That's more than the top 3 national banks combined. Start building your credit. Open a Chime checking account with at least a $200 qualifying direct deposit to get started. Get started at chime.com/ratchet. That's chime.com/ratchet. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank North America or Stride Bank North America, members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and over-the-counter advance fees may apply. Call 1-844-244-6363 for details. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. I've talked to a lot of amazing people on this podcast, but if you're like me, you want to go deeper. So where can you go to learn from the most remarkable people? That's Masterclass. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. So many people just talk about improving. Masterclass helps you actually do it. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors. So whether you want to learn master negotiation from Chris Voss, to think like a boss with Martha Stewart, or create outside the lines with Issa Rae, Masterclass has you covered. With Masterclass, you get unlimited access to intimate one-on-one classes with the world's best. I've been taking Masterclass for years, and I highly recommend it to all my friends. There are over 200 classes to pick from, with new classes added every month, like Issa Rae's class that I just mentioned. It's helping me bring my creative visions to life. What I also love about Masterclass is every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/ratchet. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/ratchet. masterclass.com/ratchet.
Speaking of fucked up things, I got several messages over the last couple days about Ghana. It's not a new bill. It's been floating around since 2021. But the bill, it's called the Proper Human Sexual Rights and Ghanaian Family Values Bill. It's been around since 2021. It was passed by Parliament unanimously, I think last Thursday. I just mentioned it was unanimous, also bipartisan. And it's a bill that Parliament is saying is necessary to protect children and people who are victims of abuse, which I think is bullshit. This bill has been commonly known in the press as Ghana's anti-LGBTQ+ bill. It was enacted in 2021 in response to the opening of Ghana's first LGBTQ+ community center, which was shut down very quickly after it opened. So under this new bill, which notably is not a law, the president of Ghana would need to sign it into law. He has not done so at this time. People identifying as LGBTQ can be imprisoned for up to 3 years. People who are promoting LGBTQ activities can be imprisoned for 5 years. People who do LGBT advocacy campaigns that are directed at children can be imprisoned for up to 10 years. It's been referred to internationally as draconian. The UK and the US, several international organizations have denounced it, Amnesty International being one of them. I think it's worth noting, once again, I just said it, but I'm going to restate it, that it's currently not a law. It's a bill. In the case of Ghana, I had to do a whole bunch of research on this because I wasn't familiar with how their laws work at that level. Once a bill is submitted from Parliament, the president has 7 days after receiving the bill to sign it into law. And if he declines, then he has 14 days to give a reason for why he didn't sign. And once again, the president of Ghana has not signed this bill. I think it's also worth noting that it's been illegal to have same-sex sex in Ghana for a really long time. I can't find the date that this law went into play. I think it harkens back to when Ghana first got its independence. But same-sex sex in Ghana is punishable for up to 3 years in prison. This has been the law on the books in Ghana for quite some time. People have been sending me very long, very fired up DMs, emails. Those are really the only ways to reach me. The creators of these emails, the writers of these emails, are rightfully angry about this bill, to which I say, me too, I'm angry too. Many are hurt, scared, offended. I get it. I would just like to express to you before we go further and before the DMs and emails continue, I'm not in Ghana's parliament. I didn't vote for this bill, and I'm not a citizen of Ghana. I mean, there's an election in December. I can't vote in it. I'm still an American citizen. I'll be voting in America's election. Also, I go to Ghana and I write about my experiences in Ghana, and I've hosted group trips to Ghana. I don't do anything for Ghana on behalf of their government, on behalf of their tourism board. I've never gotten a dime from Ghana's government in any capacity. I'm also not a PR spokesperson. So, like, I understand that you're angry, but directing your anger at me and cursing me out in my DMs and emails doesn't solve your problem. You want someone to direct your anger at? All of the parliament members in Ghana function on Twitter and Instagram. I would suggest to you that you look up their names and find their Twitter and Instagram and social media presence. So all the angry emails that you send to me, you can direct to people who are really at the heart of the shit that you're mad about. There's nothing I can do for you other than to be offended by the crazy shit you say to me about shit that has nothing to do with me. But there's been a lot of people who are opposed, publicly opposed to this bill. Let me also mention the finance minister. There was a document from the finance minister that was quote unquote leaked to the press in which he encouraged the president not to sign the bill into law. And not for the moral and ethical reasons that you would hope. His argument was like, hey, it'll tank the economy. If Ghana were to pass this bill, they stand to lose 3.8 billion American USD dollars and dineros. I read on BBC that just in 2024, they could lose $850 million in support from the World Bank. And they're afraid of this because Uganda actually passed the law. Because again, in Ghana, this is not law yet. But Uganda actually passed the law very similar to this bill in Ghana. And the World Bank cut off its funding. So the finance minister of Ghana is afraid that the same thing will happen to Ghana. Also worth noting is a lawyer has already brought forth a lawsuit. I don't know who it's actually against. I guess it's against Parliament. He says Ghana's constitution was violated in the passage of this bill. He says that when the MPs, I guess that's like their Congress, got together to vote on this bill, there was no quorum. The way Ghana's Parliament is set up, the rules are that half of the 275 MPs must be present for a vote on a bill to be passed. And this lawyer is saying that less than half of the MPs were present, so the vote for this bill cannot be accepted. I read on BBC that there has been no report in the media about how many MPs were present. So they're kind of unclear where this lawsuit is coming from. Perhaps the lawyer has some insight knowledge that has not been at this time revealed. So The president of Ghana has not received the bill on his desk as of 2 days ago. I haven't seen an update. I checked right before this podcast went up. I'm recording this at 11:22 on Tuesday morning in LA. Ghana is 8 hours ahead of LA, so the end of the business day has already passed. I haven't seen an update that says that the president has seen the bill. I mentioned earlier that the president has 7 days from when he receives a bill to sign it into law. That clock hasn't started yet. Also, Ghana's president says that he is waiting on the Supreme Court to reach a decision about this lawyer's lawsuit about the quorum. He's not going to make a decision about whether or not to sign this bill until Ghana's Supreme Court has its ruling. I'm not really sure exactly where the president stands on this. I have an idea of what I think he's going to do. But let me tell you what the president has said first, which kind of is throwing everything into flux. So when this bill first came about, and there's been a lot of talk about it over the last 3 years, they asked the president, they said, well, you know, if this bill gets passed and comes to you, would you sign it? His early answers were, I'm going to go with the will of the people. He said this in 2021, 3 years ago. So that should be right after he was elected to his second term. He's at the end of his second term now. He's out of office in December. I think it's also worth noting that he, at this point, is not a very well-liked president, I would say. There have been a few public events in which he was booed. I think one of them might have been Global Citizen. But the country has serious gripes with him, and they are very much over him, and he is very much over them. So his answer back in 2021 is, I'll go with the will of the people. His answer now, towards the end of his second term, is that he is committed to upholding human rights and, quote, no backsliding will occur. So it sounds like he's not in support of the bill. I think between him desiring to be seen as progressive on the world stage, which is its own issue, just as an observation, one of Ghana's big complaints, I don't know if that's the best word, but it's the word we're going to use, is that it's becoming westernized. I think the president of Ghana, I don't think he's likely to sign this bill, and not because of moral reasons, but because of the economic fallout of it. That said, if I know Ghana the way I think I know Ghana, this lawsuit that's sitting in Supreme Court, there's not going to be a decision before the election in December. I don't know if the bill, because it's already been passed but not signed by then, I don't know how Ghana operates, if the bill would still keep going to the new president and the next round of parliament. I don't know how that works. It's possible that the current president could just wait it out and leave this for the next person to handle. Either way, the current president doesn't sign the bill. I don't think he will. The other thing that I know 100% about Ghana, you can't predict shit. Every day when I leave my house, I know that sometime during that 24-hour period, there is going to be some wild adverse shit that happens. The one thing that's predictable about Ghana is how unpredictable it is. Let me add this because I didn't say it. Any place that you feel uncomfortable going, don't go. If you don't feel comfortable going to Ghana because of the passage of this new bill, maybe because you weren't aware that same-sex sex has been illegal and punishable by prison sentence all this time. Maybe this is new information for you. So you're like, oh, okay, I was interested and now I'm no longer interested because of their treatment of the LGBTQIA population, QIA plus population. Don't go. Just because I talk about Ghana, just because I go to Ghana does not mean you have to go. It's a big wide world. You can go to other places. I would just also like to make you mindful if you're interested in traveling to Africa. I know when I was doing my research just to discuss this most recent bill that was passed in Ghana, I kept reading 31 African countries. There are only 54. 31 African countries have some sort of legislation that are anti-LGBTQIA+. So just be aware. I encourage people to see some world. I encourage people to travel. I would never encourage you to go someplace where you're putting your life, your liberty in danger just for existing. I got to go edit. This episode is super long. We're over 2 hours. I'll probably chop this down to 45 minutes. And it's going to be late because I told y'all it's going to be late the whole time I'm in LA. It's going to be late today, though, because I actually have a meeting with the sales team for my podcast company. I got to go meet them at 2. And I got to check out this hotel room. I got to check into a new hotel today. Right now, I'm at the SLS in Beverly Hills, but the Oscars are this weekend. So the hotel prices spiked. And I was like, ooh, It was cute for 2-something a night. I ain't staying in the same room for 6-something a night. It ain't that cute. So I'm heading to a new hotel. New hotel, new rooftop. Even though it's cold as shit in LA and I can't really enjoy it. But the views are cute. Your palm trees. I miss the palm trees. And the mountains. Remember my mountains? My first apartment here, I had a panoramic view of the mountain range. And I would see the sunrise every morning from my windows. It was a good life. All right. Talk Friday. Wish me luck on my meeting today. Okay. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.